Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Last week was something else over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. We started off the week shift in the Monday Morning Blues with the Relationship Clinic. Yes, we had our Bishop John and our Lady Sharonda Williams on with us. And we talked about the problems that people have when they are first getting married. Yes, yes, and they were a perfect, they were a wonderful example responding to life. And that's through the married life. You know, how do you manage to cope with the new things of life from when you're single and then when you're married? Well, we talked about money and finances. Yes, and the Williams, you know, they responded because they had their ducks in a row. Yes, when they got married, they had all their financials intact. So therefore, when they got together and they became one, yes, they were able to handle the money issues of life. Yes. Well, one of the bigger things that you also deal, the biggest thing you deal with is the schedule. Yes, the scheduling. So you have children, you have recitals, you got a baseball game, you got, you know, bishop schedule, you got lady schedule, you got this whole nine yards. And we talked about how, you know, the juggling of all of that went. And what do you do when there's like five schedules in the house that everybody's got to adjust to and, you know, contend with? And, ooh, that was a nice layout for how you get that done. Well, what about the things that are kind of like could tear you apart because they're just those annoying things? Well, it's funny because Lady Sharonda came out the box talking about the toilet paper. Yes, this is why I love the people who God sent to its due time. She came out the box talking about how she likes the paper, the toilet paper, under, and he likes the toilet paper over. And as they said, no fuss, no muss. When you go to use the bathroom, they just turn the paper to the way they like. Ah. Ooh, if everything could be so easy in our lives, yes. You know, people make such a big deal out of the little things. And it's up to you, you know, to figure out what's going to be a big thing and what's going to be a little thing. And look how they took that and they kept it small. Yes, they didn't graduate to something that now, you know, people are getting the divorce over because the toothpaste ain't, you know, pushed up the right way. It was pushed up from the middle instead of the bottom. Yes. Well, you got to listen to their testimony because they were a wonderful example of how you respond to life. All right. All right now. We had our switch tip of the week. Stop scamming in all parts of your life. That's why she's saying the same thing. Stop scamming. And, you know, getting that representative, you know, up and at them and showing that to the person that you're trying to be with. All right? You can't scam people because, you know, whatever comes, don't come out in the wash, will come out in the rain. Eventually, you will be found out. Well, what about the other areas you try to scam people? Come on, you think about it. Are you always on the up and up, or are you trying to get over? Any little get over is scamming. Any little get over where people trust you, but you're lying to them. You're not going to present the truth to them. You're telling people that one thing is going on and the other thing is going on. You know, come on, stop scamming. And the reason why I love this particular witch tip is because it's so broad. Yeah, it covers every part of your life. And you think that God's not watching? You think that God doesn't know? Nah, you might be able to hide from man, but you cannot hide from God. So, you know, that stop scamming is big. Because you don't want God to snag you or you being a liar in life. Are you doing something or has something going on that you're not saying that you really need to be talking about? Or is it something that, like I said, you are talking about, but you're putting a spin on that thing? Come on. Let's get this together. All right. Well, let's talk about it. Tuesday Church Folk Day rolls around. And what were we talking about? We were talking about, you know, why do people, leadership, put people in, you know, positions in the church that they ain't got no business being in? Well, it was quite interesting how we talked about, you know what, those who have the biggest pockets sometimes get the position because you need them to pay the bills. They have some say, and that may not always be the best thing. Well, what about, because they're always overliable. Yes. Is that going to be the reason why you put them up there? Because you know what? Might as well go ahead because, you know, they're always here. Well, then you might as well go ahead and finish compromising. Because it's like Pastor Jeff said, oh, it's going to come back to haunt you. He said a few times he had to try to work people out of the church, out of the position that he put into place for various reasons. And they were a monster to change and get out. Yeah. So, you know what? Sometimes you got to be a one-man show. And I know it's a little difficult, but sometimes it's got to happen. So, you know, let's make sure we turn it over to God because the ministry belongs to the Lord. And when people, you know, get into these positions, it's because God has told them to get into positions. God has told us to put them into the position. And I really love Pastor Jeff's, you know, openness last week when he, you know, he really told how he really, you know, did some things for the wrong reason, but yet he had to, you know, deal with it later. And that's all that happened. Well, you know, do things properly to start with. Sometimes you're going to run up against a brick wall. So Let's make sure we take care of business properly, okay? That's what God said. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around, and we had our girlfriend Vivian, who talked about the EBT scam. Yes, stop scamming, you know, and how Ms. Martinez went to use her EBT card to take care of her grandchildren or her children's snacks, and there was $0. Over $900 had been stolen. And how do you recover from that? So even EBT, you got to be careful of the scammers. Well, the wow story of the week took over the conversation for the ladies. Yes, Pastor Jamal Bryant. He wants to turn the extra property that the church has or near the church into a cannabis business so he can teach the congregation about entrepreneurship, as well as he wants to bring the black men in that smell like weed. Yeah, he wants the smokers. He wants the smokers. You know, girls like, hey, you know, I need to reel them in. And reel them in. Because, not just because they need Christ, but, you know, hey, somebody got to go after them. Well, yes, he's absolutely right. But we can infuse the kids. And that took up Wednesday's conversation, our faith over fear conversation. And it was a part of Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, the story of Jamal Bryant continues on. So you want to go back and listen to that, as well as some other scamming or some other behavior that's going on, and the church is involved, and are we really getting ourselves involved with everything? No, we can be in this world, but the Lord said, please do not be of the world. Yes, we have got to know when we need to step back. We have to be in it, but we don't have to be about it. Not everything in this world. You know, sometimes we've got to learn how to say no, because we can't say yes to being involved in everything in this world. God has already spoken about this community who is spearheading last weekend. Yes, it was last weekend's event. And, you know, go back and listen. Go back and listen, so you can get a thorough understanding of what Pastor Steph is talking about this morning, okay? All right. Well, Freestyle Friday rolls around. Let me tell you something. Oh, Brother Al had a story for us to put a stamp on our conversation about depressed men. How do we handle? How do we notice? How do we recognize the signs of a man in depression? Negative thinking. Yep, that's one of the things. You know, there's nothing that you know, can think of that's good, or there's nothing you can think of that's positive. There's everything you've got a negative answer for. Yes, that's one of the signs that you're dealing with a depressed man. Low energy. Oh, he doesn't want to do a thing. He's a couch potato. Or he's a gamer. And he doesn't want to do anything. He doesn't even want to get in there and take a shower. Yes, it can become that bad. Oh, what about losing interest? Nothing matters. I'm not interested in anything. I just want to sit here, and I want to be by myself. and I want to smoke. Yes, you know, this depression thing is big. You know, we had our Pray for Them last week, and there was no sign that he was depressed. However, what happens when the stuff is right in front of us? Okay? So last week on the Decon with Pastor Seth, it was on and popping. Yeah, I know. So I keep probably going to tell me for that one. Because they probably don't say that anymore. But it's true. You know, every day, this conversation was hot. And it really made us think. You know, like I said, you know, I'm really noticing, you know, for the past year and a half here on a Decon, you know, God's been challenging us. Who is really on the Lord's side? Yeah. Yeah. And you know what I love about that question? It's in the Word of God. You know, that same list that we ran, you know, whether we, you know, the signs of a depressed man, there are so many indicators in the Word of God to show whether you are truly on the Lord's side or not. And that's something that I love because, you know, God's not going to leave us feeling our way around. God's not going to leave us scratching our heads and wondering, oh, he's going to put it out there. Oh, he's going to put it out there heavy. And it's going to be up to you to decide, us to decide, whether we're going to follow God, you know, whether we're going to be like Joshua and say, you know, as of me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, whose side are you really on? And we prayed last night about self-control. And how, you know, how much control do you really have over your life? How much control are you really indicating to this world that you have? Because Christian people are looking quite messy these days. You cannot tell us from the regular average person. And God is not pleased with that because he said we are a your people. We don't look the same. Like I said a minute ago, we are to be in this world, but not of this world. Where is the self-control that indicates that I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world? We got a season that's going on right now, and you can't tell us from them. No. How do you let God know that you are standing firm on his foundation and nothing is going to shake you? I don't care about anything in this world. I don't care about no relationship. I don't care about no job. I don't care about no extracurricular activities. I don't care about nothing more than I care about my relationship with the Lord, because I'm not promised later. And is God going to close my eyes with my priorities out of order? Because that just might be the thing that will keep me out. And the way this world is going and all of the war and what's important and what's not important and what should be important and what people are leaving on the side and what people are picking up, man, it's making that verse that says that there will be a many who will say, Lord, 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 didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? He's going to say, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. Now, I don't know about the rest of you. I keep quoting this because that's all that God keeps showing me. That's all God is showing me. I'm serious about this thing. All this stuff that gets passe and blase and cavalier to people, because this is what I need, this is what I want, this is what I want to do. I don't want to do this, I can't do that, don't want to touch this, want to leave that. But all the things we're willing to pick up instead of being serious about the Lord, you think God is going to just ignore these things? He's letting us know every day he is not ignoring as much as we think he is. This world is in utter chaos, and I promise you, it's because the more we say no thank you, I don't want to do it your way, the more he says, you know what, fine, go ahead. I'm going to leave you to a reprobate mind and all this quote-unquote mental illness. I'm going to search you on you. That's the reprobate mind God is talking about. I'm going to leave you to yourself. I'm going to leave you to, I don't have to touch you. All I got to do is step away. Is that what we want? I don't know. All I know is that's not what I want. And I'm going to bust my behind to make sure I do whatever it is God says. I'm not compromising. I'm not playing. I'm not blinking twice. I'm going to do what the Lord says because I ain't got time to play. You know, I don't know how many of you remember that old school, I ain't got time to die. Oh, man. That has so many angles you can pull from. I ain't got time to die. I don't want Jesus to return and find me here not doing what he wants and he leaves me here. Nah, man. I ain't got time to die today. I ain't got time to die in this life. And I ain't got time to die in the next life. Because I keep saying, you don't have to be literally dead. You can be of the walking dead. You could be doing all the things you want to do. And you are living in a prison. You ain't living for God. And I'm telling you, the more I watch this news we talk about, is the more I understand this could have been you. This maybe even should have been me. Nah, if God has decided to keep me on this side of the fence, I'm going to make sure I stay on this side of the fence. So come on, people. Come on, people of God. Let's get this together so we can show this world what it's like to pick and choose properly. We can show this world what it's about when we choose Jesus. No, every day, every minute, every second ain't going to be smile. But there's still going to be joy in your heart. And you still going to know who's got your back. All right. Well, today we are shaking the Monday morning blues all over again. Yes. We've already gotten to that point again. Right back here on a Monday morning. Well, thank you, God, for just keeping us. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to book with that healthy breakfast. Oh, go tell somebody that It's Tea Time with Pastor Steph is on. And don't go nowhere because we'll be right back.
Forgotten about me.
Very good, my sweet little.
It was the loveliest garden you ever saw.
Sweet little.
Mom, it's Lucy. Everything is normal until it's not. Learn the signs and know that you're not alone.
Good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Tea Time with Pastor Steph. And today, we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Yes. I don't know how your weekend went. You know, maybe, you know, it was bright and shiny when you got up out that bed this morning. But it's okay, because we are here and God has given us a remedy for that. All right. So let's get ready to get our little health tip on for the morning. And we're talking about reasons why you're complicated. All right, we know that, we ain't successful every time we went to that bathroom. And we really need to know why, because that can bring on bigger health issues or health issues, period. All right? We eat what we want to eat, and we don't think about the fact that our bodies are, shifting on a regular basis. And, they say no good deed goes unpunished when you eat properly. You have no problem going to the bathroom. However, if you shift that diet, to some items that you really don't need and you really shouldn't have eaten, or you've eaten a little too much of it, you really got to make sure that you understand your body. Now, it's funny, this weekend, I ate one hot dog, with one bun. And I would say maybe in a matter of, had to be about 4 hours later, I was sick. Because clearly that one bun had some egg in it. Not on a label, yet again. And it's Russian roulette, but here's the point I'm trying to make. My body will let me know if I ate something with an egg in it. However, our bodies don't always indicate when we've eaten something that will constipate us. Yes, that will cause constipation. Not until it's time to go to that bathroom and you can't go and you're struggling. I've heard some stories. I know some people have had to go to the doctor to get this taken care of. So let's get these three top reasons out of the way. Reasons why you're constipated. Oh, your diet lacks soluble fiber. Okay? So we're talking about you not eating leafy greens, berries, nuts, things that are rich in soluble fiber, and you need to make sure that you get this food in your body. Eating salad, eating those berries, those things are going to push, it's going to flush your intestines, okay? And make sure you have that soluble fiber, okay? Let's see. Let's get those chia seeds. Let's get that avocado. Okay? Let's get those zucchini and carrots in our body. Those things will help to flush us. Okay? All righty. They call it roughage. Yes, that roughage will push your, your intestines. Push that food through your intestines, rather. Okay? Number two, your diet is too low in fat. They say when people make dietary changes by giving up dairy, switching from egg to egg white, or adopting a more plant-based diet, it often results in a whole lot less fat. Okay? So they say what you may not know is that fat plays a role in stimulating motility or forward motion in the colon. Again, we're talking about pushing, okay? And they say that way it promotes regular bowel movement, okay? So make sure, you keep that fat going. Every fat ain't bad fat. So again, remember, when you eat proper amount of fat, then you promote regular bowel movement. Okay? What else are we talking about? Got one more here. Oh, your diet ditches natural sugars. Okay? So they say some of the more restrictive diet regimen in circulation these days takes a pretty hard line approach to foods that have more than a minimal amount of naturally occurring sugar, like milk or yogurt, sweeter fruits like bananas, grapes, mango, and watermelon. They say dried fruit like raisins, apricots, carrots, and beets. And I'm telling you, this is true because I have a carrot juice that I make, and it has carrots, beets, and avocados. Yep. And trust me, I have no problem. Well, I never had a problem, but that's just a side note. But it definitely helps. Okay? So those are the three reasons why you could be constipated. Let me just go over that. Make sure your diet does not lack soluble fiber. That's those leafy greens, the berries. Make sure you get that zucchini, the carrots, the chia seeds, the avocado, the cantaloupe in your system. Okay? Number two, your diet is too low in fat. All right? Make sure you're eating foods that's going to flush that colon. All right? And your diet ditches natural sugars, such as milk or yogurt, bananas, grape, mango, watermelon, dried fruit, raisins, apricots, carrots, and beets. Okay? All right. Don't say Pastor Steph didn't tell you about it. All right? Well, what are we talking about today in our news? Boy, I read the news yesterday. And I'm going to tell you something. Y'all think I'm joking when I say, you better give God thanks. You haven't lost your mind. Because I'm sure some of this stuff that we're looking at, people never thought they would be living on this side of life. All right? Well, I got to tell you about this twisted cop story. This is crazy. So out in Mississippi, there, somehow or another, there was this woman, Amy Anderson, 43 years old, who was a veterinarian. She checks into the hotel, motel, whatever, with her 8-year-old daughter, and then asks the manager of the motel to call the cops because she thought someone was following her. But in actuality, nobody was following her. She had some type of mental breakdown. Did I just tell y'all? Just be grateful that God got you. Because this is a veterinarian. We took on one of these women that's sitting back collecting a check. This woman is a veterinarian, which means she's got a head on her shoulder. She's got a good brain that she's been using. And all of a sudden, she's with the daughter in a motel, and she thinks someone is following her. Well, let me show you how a bad thing goes to a worse thing. So, the cops show up. 23-year-old Brandon and 34-year-old Steven, which is a sergeant. Okay? They show up. And she told them the same story and said that she was being followed by someone in a white pickup truck, and they were threatening her life. Well, they say after the officers decided to call CPS on this, you know, on this woman, so they can, you know, see about the daughter, they found that the woman and the daughter was loading the car to leave the motel. So according to the body camera footage, it shows that one of the officers was interacting with the woman when she shot the officer in the head from the driver's other cop. This is the sergeant now, approaches, exchanged shots with the woman. He shoots her and kills her. She shoots him, and he later dies in the, at the hospital. Thank God the daughter wasn't hit. So now, nobody's alive. Can you, y'all keep trying to figure out why. I'm pressing the issue of us making sure our life is right in Christ, because that just might be the thing that may keep us on the side of being in our right mind. All it started with was the fact that she thought somebody was following her, and it wasn't true. Some kind of nervous breakdown, some kind of mental breakdown. And now this child does not have a mother, and the police force, they don't have two of their officers. She killed both officers who end up killing her. All because of a misunderstanding. Oh, my Lord. I don't know how this stuff affects you, but it really makes me press harder to make sure I don't compromise. I make sure I stay on the side of the Lord. Because my grandmother, my mother's mother, had mental illness. She had mental illness. And I have a cousin who goes off from time to time. And she told someone that she knows something ain't right. She told someone that she knows something ain't right, but she wasn't going to the doctor and see about it. Now, knowing that our grandmother had some level of mental illness, how you don't go to get yourself checked out? It's fine for you to walk around and believe that there could be something wrong. Now, here's the flip side. There may not be anything wrong. But if you even think it and you won't go take care of it, you won't go see about it, this is what happens to a whole lot of other people who are now walking the streets, who know something could be wrong, and they, again, they just throw caution to the wind. And this is how you end up with half the stories that we got. Because they may need some kind of med that would keep them, you know, in their right place, because that's what she needed. If she took her medication, she was fine. I mean, just as quiet as pie. Joke with you, laugh with you. But man, if she didn't have that medication, and it's been a couple of minutes, all hell broke loose. I saw it for myself. This stuff is no joke. It is only a fine line that keeps us from being these people. I read this story last night. I was like, you have got to be kidding. Because the only thing I thought about was here was this child. Here was this child who was in all kinds of crossfire. Remember now, they said she shot, the woman shot the first officer from the car. She was in the car, which meant that when that cop fired back, who knows where that bullet was going to go. Because it clearly didn't hit her. Clearly didn't hit the driver, this woman. But the second officer's gun and bullet hit her. And her bullet hit him. So everybody's dead, all because she thought someone was following her in a white pickup truck. Y'all better make sure y'all keep this stuff together. Because this is the only reason why we ain't down. Oh, I got three other stories that I got to talk about today. Two are just, I mean, out of this world. But I'll talk about this other story first. The other two are kind of similar, so I'll save those to last. Now, you think I'm joking? So here's a kid, a teenager, who is being bullied via cyberbullying and couldn't figure out how this, you know, person got to them, what was going on, why they were targeted. Lord have mercy. You know, the team was being stalked. They thought there was some, what do you call that thing? Catfishing that was going on and was really making this life difficult from cyberbullying. And when the person was caught, they were charged with 2 counts of stalking a minor, 2 counts of using a computer to commit a crime. Didn't I tell you they're adding on all kinds of different charges? And 1 count of obstruction of justice. Now, how they got the obstruction of justice, I can't quite figure out. But this person was also, at the time, a girls basketball coach at one of the schools. Well, when they did the digging to find out who was, you know, causing this team all this grief, it was his mother. Oh, Jesus. His mother. It said she was taken down for her role in a catfishing scheme that was focusing, on her daughter. Now, did I just say 2 counts of stalking a minor, 2 counts of using a computer to commit a crime, and 1 count of obstruction of justice? So they say this woman, this teen and her boyfriend were being cyberbullied, but they didn't know who it was until the authorities finished doing the investigating. And here you are, you're a coach of the girls' basketball team. And it wasn't only the daughter. There were some other young people who she was also cyberbullying. And she confessed to it all. When they caught her, she ended up breaking down and telling them everything. Now, this is the kind of grief you want to cause your children. This is your child. Here we're trying to protect our children from the cyberbullying. And here you are, the one who's doing the cyberbullying. Your daughter. Now, we don't know why. Could have been because she didn't want this her with the boyfriend. I don't know, because they don't say what was said or anything like that. But they said that the young lady, the teenager, complained to the authorities. he was the one who took it to the authorities and was showing them all of the catfishing and the cyberbullying that was going on. Well, the catfish, she couldn't show the catfishing, but she could show the cyberbullying, and they found out that it was catfishing too, because while the mama was trying to make her think it was somebody else who was really the mama. Oh, child. All right, so here are my last two stories. And you know what? You have this, I want to get the other story first. Hold on. You have this Texas police officer who's been fired from the police department twice. Now, the first time, the police officer lost his job back in 2006. That was because he gave a homeless man a feces sandwich. Yes. Well, somehow or another, he was rehired by another Texas police department. And he ends up being fired again. And they were like, well, how in the world did he manage to do this, whatever, in a police uniform when in 2016 ended up finding that he placed feces between two slices of bread and gave it to a homeless man while on duty. Now, when he went to court, he won the appeal over the feces sandwich incident because they say the local government code prevents officers from being disciplined for conduct occurring over 100 days earlier. So in other words, had they processed this thing quicker, he would have had to, you know, possibly do some time. But they say he was late. He was given another chance. And he ended up being a cop in another department, another police department. And he was given an indefinite suspension following an investigation incident, which he allegedly failed to flush feces down a toilet in the woman's restroom at the downtown bike patrol office and spread a brown tapioca-like substance on the toilet seat. So he didn't win his appeal the second go-round. And they were just like, you know what, absolutely not. You are not only fired again, but you ain't never going to get another chance to do none of this stuff again. Now, this is while, this is, you know, the first one was while he was in his uniform. This is what he did. Okay? And now we got to worry about you doing this again to somebody with the feces. What's your issue with feces? Why are you messing around with the feces? And this is like jeopardizing your job, and it's a good job. What is your problem? All right, well, that ain't enough, because I got to tell you this story before I go to my top crew. So a county jail officer and his wife, they are arrested after they say their home was full of animal urine and feces. So they're facing child and animal cruelty. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I don't. They're not saying at first why they had to end up going to their house. I guess it'll come later. But well, they say that when they got to the couple's home, there was so much animal waste that it caused pain to the officers' eyes and lungs, and they found dirt, debris, and feces all over the home, including on cooking surfaces. Okay, now I remember why the police had to end up going to the home. So the 16-year-old son had been sent to school several times with animal feces on his clothes, and he had to be removed from the class several times because of the odor. So that's how they ended up going to the house. And they say when the investigators checked on the teen's living conditions, that they said that this was causing the child excessive mental pain. Well, they had a dog living in the home who had some serious medical issues, and they never took time to take the dog to the vet or put the dog out or send the dog and drop it off somewhere. So the whole house became contaminated because of your ill dog, and that's why they're being charged with child and animal cruelty. And again, this is a jail officer. So they just as twisted as everybody else. Now, you mean to tell me your home is so out of control? You are a jail officer. That means you're going to work every day. So how is it that you are going to work every day, but your son goes to school so badly, his clothes are so bad that they have to put him out and report this to the authorities because he smells so bad. And his clothes were all messed up. But you going to a jailhouse every day working? This is what you doing? Well, it's time for my detour crew. Because I really can't figure this one out. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning. I'm at a point now where I don't even want to say Monday. I'll say it because I'm used to it. Monday morning. But that's a rough one today. Really, really rough.
Yes, ma'am. Well, listen, Tamika, we're here to shake the Monday morning blues, so we're going to need that Monday morning after this news.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. So, you have the story of the woman and the cop who shot one another, or the girls' basketball coach who was found cyberbullying her daughter, her boyfriend, and some other kids. Which story you want to talk about today?
Oh boy, that's really, really rough. Any one of them is really rough. I'll go with the mother that all of this went down because of you. You know, my thing is, you said that somebody was behind you. I mean, you know, somebody was chasing you, and now not just your life. Four lives are affected because of the one,
right.
One with you. You know, the child
right.
Now, like, you know, okay, so you lost both officers. You got a child that's in a vehicle. How old did they say the child was? I'm sorry.
I think she was 8. I think she's 8 years old, so she's well aware of what happened. Yep, 8-year-old
right.
daughter.
But who does she go to now? You know,
right.
Like, my
right.
life is completely different. There's no mommy anymore. You know, are you close to dad? Do you even know other family members? This is the other thing. We don't think about stuff like that. When we're not in tune with our family members, we don't get along, you know, and we have children, and I'm going to protect my child by not getting them access. You know, who does the child go to now? Is there a father that she even knows? Are there siblings for the sister? You know, does she have a brother, sister, you know, mother still living, you know, or does she now just become a part of the system? This child's life is completely changed. Nothing that she's ever known is ever going to be the same. And so, of course, my heart goes out to her. Not only that, she witnessed all of this stuff. You know,
yep.
So there's what type of therapy, what can we do for this child? You know, and nobody can tell her how to feel. You know, the last time I saw my mother, we were in a hotel, and the next thing I know, you know, she's gone. And I watched two other people, you know. And I, you know, of course, I didn't get shot, but, I mean, I have been in areas, and I thank God for his covering, where shooting has transpired. And literally, when you hear that sound come past your ear, it's not like nothing you've ever heard before. It startles you. You automatically know. You know, for her being 8 years old, she probably, you know, didn't really know, but that's not a sound you'll ever forget. And so, you know, that type of thing, she's probably going to have all type of trauma, you know, dreams and things like that. And my heart really goes out to her.
Absolutely. You're talking about, go back to the story. She and the mom had packed up the car to leave. So they were in the car. And the mom shot the officer from inside of the car. So that means that she got every bit of an understanding as to what went on. She was in the car when all of this gunfire was going on. When the cops shot at the mother, she was in the car. So that meant she could have easily, the little girl could have easily been hit. You know, it's like, I understand, you know, you don't want her to go anywhere, but, you know, you call Child Protective Services. So here's my thought, Tamika. You call Child Protective Services, but then you shoot into the car where the child is. Well, who are the people protecting the child from? This is,
exactly.
You know, I'm like, wow, this is crazy. This is crazy. So, unfortunately, you know, you're 8 years old. You don't hear that mom is no longer here. You actually see mom is no longer here, and you see why mom is no longer here. So this here has got to be a level of trauma for this little girl that she will never, ever, ever get away from. So this is really a sad situation. All right. It's the feces time. I don't know what it is with these officers, but you got one officer who was fired from the police department the first time back in 2016 because they say that he put feces between two slices of bread and gave it to a homeless man while on duty. The second incident is he goes into the woman's bathroom. And that's the thing. This all happened in a woman's bathroom. And says, ended up taking responsibility for the toilet incident, but said it was a prank and apologized. And in hindsight, understands that it was immature. And, you know, how is it that you're doing all of this stuff in the woman's restroom? And you ain't nothing mentally wrong with you? Or you got the story of the parents, including a jail officer, whose house is so bad that it affects everybody who walks in the house. Everybody who lives in the house. Now, my question is, how it hasn't affected the two of y'all when the cops walk in there and they are all messed up now? The exact quote was, when they walked in the house, They say it caused pain to the officer's eyes and lungs. Okay, so which one are you talking about today, Tamika?
I'm completely repulsed by all of it. I mean, just as soon as you started talking about it, I was just like, oh. But if I had to pick and choose, I'd go with the parents with the child. That is just horrible. You know, the sad part about it is if you're a child living or being brought up in an environment like that, you know that it's nasty. You know it's dirty. 9 times out of 10, you don't want to invite your friends. You know, people say, oh, you know, if you do have any friends at all, you know, oh, well, let's go over your house. No, we're not going over my house, you know. And the sad part about stuff like that is when you're in a setting like that, you get to the point where you don't smell it. You know, I can't fathom that because just, you know, something as mild as sour milk, you know, if I open up the refrigerator, it smells bad, you know, I'm ready to go, you know, but like, you understand that you have a animal in the home that has an issue. You're obviously not even cleaning up behind the animal, you know, so you're letting it do its thing and you're not even trying to take care of trying to solve the situation. You leaving it in your home and everybody is affected. You know, you ever been at a workplace or someplace, you just look at somebody and not picking, but honestly, when we look at people, we automatically survey and you might look at somebody and go, they don't look so clean. You know, they look like they don't smell so good. You know, I'm sure somebody in the workplace had to be once or twice, you know, walk by and go, you smell that? You know, and you kind of either ignore it or, you know, I've been in workplaces where I've had a coworker that did not smell their best, you know, and because they are, you know, employed by the place, the boss didn't say anything. And I was just like, you know, I really don't want to be anywhere near you, you know, and it's sad to put a child through that. You know, this child doesn't have a choice. You know, you don't have a family member, somebody, you know, that's horrible to put a child through.
Absolutely. And I keep asking, well, what's going on with you that you out at a job every day? How are you going to a job every day? And you don't have none of this stuff on you, or you don't smell bad, and you don't even make sure that the kids is leaving the house and they don't smell bad. So I don't know. I do not know what's going on. You know, it's a repulsive story, two repulsive stories. But again, I'm pulling out these stories. You know, I pass up a whole lot of stories. Trust me when I tell you, I do. I wasn't passing these up today because again, I want us to understand this could be us. This stuff is extreme. This ain't no joke. Thank you for joining us today, Lady Tamika.
I'm sorry. I just thought of one other thing. I apologize. It could be one of those hoarder situations, you know. I've watched those shows, and that is a mental issue. What happens is you feel that you've lost so much until you just, you know, you hold on to things. You know, I've seen those shows where, you know, even things like, you know, old milk and things that you know is going to spoil, cans of milk and other things that you know that should be refrigerated. They hold on to it because of that type of thing. You got a sick dog, you don't want to let him go, and you just get to the point where, you know, we've heard before, I came to the end of my rope. But before you get to the end of the rope, you know, reach out, you know, don't let yourself get to that point, especially putting a child through that.
Absolutely, absolutely, and easily it could be a hoarder situation, you know, and this is how, you know, this whole house is being kept. You know, I've seen those episodes too where people couldn't even walk through the house because the stuff was so, oh my gosh, it was a horrible living situation. So it could be, you're right, very well could be. Pastor KL, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I am well. What story did you come in on?
The very last one.
All right, well, comment if you will, please.
The boo-boo family. I'm in awe how you get PP people and Boo Boo families. I don't know where your Reader's Digest is, but you come up with these stories where they either peeing on themselves or they crapping on themselves. My first question was, you got to really love this dog. You got, because if the dog is the one that had the issue, the dog got to go. That's the bottom line. You know, and everybody knows I'm an animal lover. I just had to put down my dog because he had cancer. But at some point, you have to make a decision, not only for the animal, but for the family's well-being. I mean, living in feces infested, you know, that's no longer the dog. Now you're putting the children and myself in jeopardy. How much do you love this dog? And do you love this dog more than you love your family on your well-being? Because the dog don't know he got a problem. But you do.
It's true. It's very true, especially when you have a kid in the house. You know, at 16
right.
years old, you know, you want to believe that, you know, you went to the school with the feces. You went to the school smelling. But at one point, you have to say to yourself, you know, that's all you living in. Could you go to school any other way? And,
right.
you know, this is, you know, and to think that going to school, Pastor Kale, is what actually saved him. Because had he stayed in
right.
the house, nobody would have known what was going on.
Yeah, and then that stuff would have got into his system, literally.
Yep.
And then,
yep.
you know, you're not taking the dog to the vet. You know, it scares me that you probably wouldn't even take your child to the doctor. So it would
no.
have affected more and more and more and created a
yep.
bigger problem.
Yep. And if this stuff is, listen, it was also on the cooking utensils. How,
right.
I mean,
so we eat.
Bacteria, that's right, germs and all kind of things that are going on in this house. Mm.
I can see my niece, Shantice, right now. She would have lost her mind.
Honey.
She would have been spraying
everything.
You talk
about going mental. Honey. You talk about going mental. The authorities would have been called because she would have lost it, like you said. Oh, no. She wouldn't have survived that. That wasn't going to happen. That was not going to happen. That was not going to happen. But thank you so much for joining us this morning, Pastor KL. Let's say a good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Morning, chop, chop of the cold morning. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, brother Al. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to give an opportunity to comment on the last story. You know, Al loves the kids. Imagine them coming to the school like that, brother Al.
Now, I had missed some of them because it was a little noisy. What did the kids, how did they come to school? I did miss some of it.
So let me read it to you exactly. They said that the 16-year-old son was sent to school several times with animal feces on his clothes. And they said he had to be removed from class several times because of the odor that was on him.
Wow, that's crazy. So I take it there's a pet in the house somewhere. And
Right.
Now the procedure is when a child comes like that, we're supposed to look into it, and then he comes several times, ACS supposed to be called. That's what the procedure is. So I don't know what the school did as far as just removing him. But it's like, okay, what's going on? Do y'all love this animal that much? Because you do have some people who love the animals more than they do the kids or anybody else or human being. So,
right.
you know,
right.
yeah, you get tough for that. But you're doing that to that young boy. For now, he's embarrassed in school because these kids got no filter. You come in and something ain't right, they don't care what's going on at home or what's going on. They are going to have a million jokes on.
Yeah.
So now you're putting them in a bully situation. You're putting them in a bullying situation because they're going to make fun of them.
Absolutely.
And that's just plain selfish. Plain selfish.
Absolutely, Brother Al. Yes, it wasn't a dog that was in the home, and they found that the dog had a serious illness. Clearly, they didn't walk the dog because all dog stuff was all over the house. And that's what did alert the authorities because of the child going to the school. So you're right. Somebody did contact the authorities, and they went to the house to see exactly what was going on, and that's how they found the house. It was disgusting. And,
wow.
You know, it,
and then on
bad.
Top of that, I'm quite sure that the animal place was, and the animal place don't come. The animal place come out there and see something ain't right. You're going to jail. So
they
didn't put themselves in a whole bunch of problems.
You're right, Brother Al, because they said that they are being charged with child and animal cruelty. So you're right. You're the nail on that. Somebody going to pay for that dog not going to the vet. And like you said, there are people out here who love animals much more than they love the people. So, yeah, unfortunately.
Hey, look, I'm sorry, Pastor. Just to tell you on a quick little highway note, right? Me and Tamika was watching a cooking channel, and the lady was cooking up something. She broke it down. This is how you do this, and you cut this open, and you stuff all this and that. And she finished everything. Then she said, so now we put it into the oven. She picks the dog up, got the dog in her arm while she picked up the stuff to put in the oven, and then let the dog sniff it. The dog sniffed it up, and then she was like, oh, even little Chloe likes it. And she put it in the oven. The comments that she got, people was like, you were doing fine until you brought that dog in.
Wow.
Yes. I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
Everything was fine since she did that. She lost every person possible. She lost every person possible that was watching her channel. Because the comments that came up was crazy.
Wow. So, wait, but how did she respond to the comments?
She didn't say nothing. That's the funny thing. She didn't say nothing back. I mean, people was getting rough on. People was like, you dirty. You know, some people ain't got no filter, and some people got at her heart. And I actually didn't see no response. She didn't even respond or try to say, oh, I'm sorry, or, you know, I didn't mean to do that. She just ain't say nothing. The people just let her have it.
Wow. Well, I'm glad they did respond, because Shantice and I were looking at something last week, and I don't know what it was. We were looking at TV. And Brother Al, you know, she was like, oh, you know, we're going to go in this kitchen and I'm going to do this cooking. And when she got in the kitchen, she puts her stuff on the counter. And then you look over and they pull back on the camera. And who's sitting up on the counter with her cooking? The cat. I said, see, I can't. That's why you just can't eat everybody.
And you know, and like your animals myself, my cat already know. I just got to look at her. She'll walk to the kitchen, and I give her that look, and she turn around and go back to business. You better go get on up out of here.
Okay. I mean, and Shanti said it was the movie The Protege we were watching last week. And, yeah, Brother Al, she not only did she let the cat come across the door sill of the kitchen, she was actually cooking her food and kissing the cat on the counter. Cat was right there. You might as well have picked up a spoon and started stirring. I was done. I said, I can't. Just listen, Shanti, this is why you can't have my food. Oh, Lord. The cat's in the morning.
She might as well let the cat start cooking.
Yes. You might as well give her a spoon and let her. Right there, Brother Al, right there. We ain't talking about, you know, on the floor, and she took, no, on the counter. And I'm like, yo, you know, when we had a cat, we constantly, alcohol, wipe down everything. Because unless you got a door to your kitchen, when you go to sleep, you don't know where the cat is. You know, so you got to wipe down everything. You got to clean down everything. You got to make sure, you know, you got to make sure that things are clean in your house. What are you doing?
Yes, I use bleach. I got a spray bottle with bleach in it. and I'll spray my counter down and everything and wipe them down.
Yes, because you don't know. You don't have a door you don't know. So, oh, Lord, okay. But in any event, Brother Al, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I had this actual conversation up for a few weeks ago, but we ended up one of our news stories took over, and we're talking today the real reasons women break up with men. I had this from weeks ago, and I was like, well, where'd this go? And then I looked and saw what we talked about that week, and I kind of glanced, and I was like, wow, this is interesting. So, the real reasons women break up with men. Oh, Tamika, they say the first thing is he's moody. Oh, my. Have you found that to be an issue with anybody, or did you know anybody that talks about this stuff? Yeah, moodiness in a man. Yeah, I live with one of them, my brother. Oh, my God, when I tell you he is the king of moody. Like, you get up in the morning and he's not speaking to you and you don't know why. And you expect to put somebody else through that type of, you know, foolishness. You know, she didn't do anything to you last night. She didn't do anything to you last week. Y'all haven't seen each other in 3 days. And she's like, hey, sweetie, how you doing? I mean, no response, no how you doing, I miss you, you know. I remember his last relationship. When I tell you every holiday, it was literally like lights on, lights off. So if they were together for Valentine's Day, then they were broken up by Mother's Day, and then they were back together by Father's Day, and then literally like that. And I was just like, you know, at one point I thought it was her, but I'm like, okay, you have not in your life sustained the relationship. Probably the first relationship in his life that he had was probably the longest. And everything after that has been, you know, traumatic, you know. And it's, I have often said, you're not going to be able to hold something until God turns you around. And that disposition, if it doesn't work for the family, it's definitely not going to work for a wife, unless she's probably just like that. You know, sometimes the opposite, you know, attract. But the average person is not going to take your moodiness. Wow. All right, Pastor KL. How often do men get moody?
Well, let me just help Tamika for her brother. That's not moody. That's strategically planned. You know, we are financially conscious. So what happens is that right before Thanksgiving, right before Mother's Day, right before Christmas, we break up. And after New Year's, we'll get back together. You know what? I changed over a new leaf, baby. Let's get back together. Now, at the end of January, you're going to do something to get on my nerves. Why? Because February is coming, and I can't buy no Valentine's gift. So then come on back. We'll try to get it in March. I mean, it's not moody. It's strategically planned. Y'all got to understand that. But no, I think men are more direct. I don't think we're moody. We're just more direct. We want what we want. We like what we want. We don't like what we want. You know, and unfortunately, men don't really compromise. So it looks like, you know, we're moody. He don't like this. He don't like that. We're not moody. We're just direct. And some women just doesn't deal with that well.
All righty. Oh, Brother Al, he's moody. How realistic is it to say that a man is moody according to you?
Well, I do believe that it does happen. I agree with Pastor Kale to a certain degree, because I've known some guys who, the perfect example, I got a friend of mine who grew up with nothing but women. His father wasn't in his life. He had his mother and seven aunts raised him. So when you see him, you know, people will ask, yo, is he gay? Or, you know, because he has feminine ways, because he's been around nothing but women. And he gets moody. You know, he really does. It's just this day he felt like this. This day he don't feel like that. Now, those guys, Pastor KL is talking about that breakup when this holiday's not. Those are players. They got a game plan. You know what I'm saying? They got a game plan. Well, I'm going to do this so I ain't got to buy this for her. I'm going to do this and that. But there are some guys out here who escape moves like that. And it will cause an issue because most of the time it's women who are moving. So that will cause an issue in the relationship.
Okay, okay, okay. You know what? Here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to talk to Tamika, and I'm going to let you two come on the back end. So we're going to start with her all the time. All right, Tamika. They say one of the other reasons why a woman breaks up with a man is that he's a caveman. He's so outdated in everything. So oldish in everything. Even though he's young, he's got an old mind. Is that true? Is she going to break up with him because he's a caveman?
I think in a lot of instances like that, we work. And we work hard to update. You know, sometimes, let's just be honest, and I've heard Pastor Charlene say that. You know, there's this outfit or something that you look at and you say, that needs some work, you know. So I think in most senses we're willing to work and try and update. I remember a gentleman that I dated that had this poncho. And when I tell you the poncho was so old, you know, those they're sweaters and they have like, yes, a poncho. And I hate it. When I tell you, I hated that poncho. And it was like every winter, you wear that thing every day. And, you try your best to say, you know, if you wear, you know, let's go shopping. You happen to go and it's like, oh, look, there's a nice jacket. You like that jacket? No, I just like my poncho. It's just like, you know. A couple of times you'll try and work to kind of hint, you know, to kind of note that, you know, you try not to hurt their feelings, but, you know, if it gets to the degree that everything is outdated and you trying to stay, you know, you trying to stay pretty and in fashion and you got this one, you might inch closer to that thinking about, you know, ending it. Because I'm a representation of you, and I want you to be a representation of me. And I can't be walking up and down the street and you looking like, you know, last year's news.
Wow. Well, first of all, Tamika, I want to say I'm breaking up with you if you even have a poncho. I don't even care if it's old or new. What man wears a poncho? I've never even seen this in my life. Oh, my goodness gracious. No, that's a new one for me, girl. Come on, Pastor K.O. No, you know what, Brother Al? You got a poncho. Are you even in the running?
Well, I guess I'm going to take my poncho back and get my money. I still got the receipt.
Oh, my God.
No, but I think that would be a thing for breaking up because this person don't want to move with the time. So, you know, you getting in the car and you still got an 8-track player. You know, bruh, we didn't pass the CDs and we on MP3s now. And you run around trying to find online shopping, trying to find an 8-track player. So I think that would cause an issue because, again, you know, if you don't move with the time, you get left behind.
All righty. All right, Pastor KL, cavemen, you know, there's nothing modern about you. Your conversation, your clothes, your car. Are you a keeper?
Listen, you know, people go out every day looking for vintage furniture. You know, people go out every day looking for collectibles. How dare you not want to be with me? I'm vintage. I'm a collectible. I'm a dinosaur. You know, I still have a record player with vinyl records. So what does that mean? That my collection needs to go or you can't be with me because you don't appreciate the vintage?
No, you didn't.
I mean, you know. Huh?
You need a real turntable if you got vinyl records. You better not be coming
with
that's
what I'm saying. I got a record player. I do.
No, I talk about
that. I got a console.
A turntable and a record player are two different things, Pastor KL.
They both play vinyl.
No, go ahead with your story, with your vintage
story.
They
both play vinyl. You see,
okay.
See, you people, you'll take your grandchildren to the museum to see me, and then you'll explain to them who I am and how I used to be an old player with a deuce and a quarter. You know, you'll give them the whole history of me, but you don't want to be with me.
Nah, you for the museum. You are for the museum, Pastor KL. You are not for the relationship. You are for the museum. Just know that. All right, Tamika. Women have said that they leave men who think they're a mind reader. They think they know everything. You can't tell them nothing. You can't change them. They know everything about everything. Do you get rid of them?
Oh, my goodness, yes. You know, I mean, there are things that I have done. You mean to tell me for everything that I've done, you've done? You know, I zip line. Oh, yeah, I zip line, you know, 3 years ago and such and such and such and such. So I can't tell you anything. You know, you haven't been talking to somebody, and I don't care what situation you talk about. You talk about skydiving, they did it. You talk about whitewater rafting, they did it. You talk about horseback riding, they did it. I can't that type of person because it's like I can never, there's nothing that I can ever tell you. You know everything. So there's no advice, and you're always giving me stuff that I didn't even ask you for. So, no, I don't even have to think about that one. That's pretty much a deal breaker because you always got something to say, and you know a little bit of nothing.
Wow. Come on, Pastor KL. You a know-it-all. That's what they used to call it. You're a know-it-all. She can't deal with you.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Tamika for the first time today. Today, I'm
you
in agreement
what?
With Tamika. That is frustrating from both sides. From both sides. I did it all. You know, not only the relationship. If you ever work with some of them kind of folks, you know, you're trying to train them, but they already know it. Oh my God, that I just want to fire you on the second day. That's a problem. That's a big problem.
Oh, Brother Al, what do you do with the know-it-all? Does she throw you away?
I told Tamika it was going to be cold today, but they didn't want to hear me, but, you know. I know-it-all. That is a pain in the behind. You can't say nothing. They won't give you the opportunity to say, oh, wow, I didn't know that for real. Everything you say, they know or they done. So I start making up stuff, you know. I helped them build that rocket. You know, I had a hand in that, too. I said, we don't have a friend like that, a guy friend we have like that. And we sit there and we make up stuff just to laugh at them. And everything we make up, we sit there and say, I did that, too. I was like, really? Okay. I used to breed dogs. What you do? Man, shoot, that's easy. I had two dogs, and we just started laughing at them. And we just laughed at them. That's very annoying.
Leave it up to you to invent stuff. You know what? Leave it up to you. Leave it up to you. All righty, Tamika. They say they break up with men because he hangs with his friends much too often. What about you?
I can't get up with you because you're with your boys. I mean, there should be, we talk often about boundaries. So you have no boundaries. We're supposed to meet on Wednesday. I got things planned. I'm getting everything together, you know, makeup, hair, that type of thing. And you know, I can't even reach you. Or when I call you, I'll call you back. I'm back. I'm out with my boys. Wait a minute. So I'm getting dressed for you and you out with your, yeah, that could be a major problem. You know, I've seen a lot of relationships end for something as simple as that. It's one thing where she's, you know, overexerting, but it's another thing when you're doing way too much.
All righty, all righty. All right, Brother Al, you're over 50, and you're hanging with your boys all the time. Are you a keeper?
First of all, why you got to bring up age in this, huh? I just wanted to know.
Because they said that it's especially bad. You know, it's bad when you do it, but they say after 35, you really. So I was like, well, why 35? Why not go ahead to 50? So that's how we got to 50.
Okay, cool. That's horrible. You know, it's so funny because while you talk about it, I was remembering Martin Lawrence was doing stand-up, and he was talking about that. And every time the girl wanted to go somewhere, he was like, well, I already done told Craig and them. You know, that is the easiest way to lose your mate, you know. Cause you're not spending no time with her. You want to spend time with the boys. And I don't know nobody in their right mind who want to spend more time with their boys than their lady, unless you just don't like her or want to be around her. But that's a quick way to lose her.
Wow! Come on, Pastor KL, what are we talking about?
But you know, Craig is my boy now. If I already told him before you even started talking about this stuff. You know, me and Craig already made plans. You know, you have to back up a little bit. But you're right. Craig can't do what your lady can do or what your wife can do. So you better leave Craig alone. That's all I'm going to tell you. Because at the end of the day, you better leave Craig alone. You know, and I think that is a deal breaker when you're always out with your peoples or even with your family. You know, sometimes we always, I got to go to mama house. Mama need me to do this. Well, you know what? Listen, mama done lived her life now. She ain't going to be around too much longer. I'm going to be around longer than mama. You know? And then, mama ain't breastfeeding no more.
You know what?
She might want to get rid of mama. What's up?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. All right, Tamika. Here's a biggie. He's a liar. He lies. Is that enough to make you break up with him?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I dated a gentleman who, I mean, when I say lie, you lied about your middle name. You lied about your siblings. You lied about where you live. You lied about where you work. I was just like, are you serious? Because one day I finally got the chance to talk to his mother. And she was like, I was like, yeah, you know his middle name is Lord. She said, what? My son's middle name isn't Lloyd. I was like, what? You know, so, I mean, that is really, really rough, you know, and you lie for no reason. You know, it's one thing to tell a lie. I mean, you got it really, really bad when you lie for no reason. Who lies about their middle name and why? And if you didn't like it, you didn't have to tell me anything. You actually created a name, and then when I called you on it, then it was like, well, I said that? Now you got memory loss because you gotta cover yourself. Either you create a lie with another lie, you save yourself with the other lie, or you automatically get amnesia. You can't remember stuff.
Oh my goodness! You know, Tamika, I think about all the time. What makes me mad about a liar is when you volunteer a lie. I ain't ask you nothing about this thing. And why are we lying? Why are you volunteering a lie? You gonna lie before we even get there to that point or to that issue? Nah, it's time to go.
Exactly.
It's time to go. I got you, girl. I got you. Oh, Pastor KL, you're lying about everything. And nothing is the truth that comes out your mouth.
Yeah, I like that little line right there when you volunteer a line. That's crazy. That you just lie for no, everything you say is a lie. That's a deal breaker. You know, my mama used to always say that if you lie, you'll steal. if you steal your kill. I'm scared of a liar. I'm scared of a liar, you know, because it leads to too many things. You two, listen, when you're that comfortable in lying, you know how they say he lied with a straight face, then you would do anything. If you're that comfortable, and if it rolls off your tongue like a monologue, like you have rehearsed this before, you know, I'm scared of that. Because you thought about this and what you were going to say to me. Listen, who named their child Lord as a middle name? Did you say Lord? Like God? Lord?
No, Lloyd.
Oh, my
Lloyd.
God.
Lloyd.
Oh, Lloyd. Oh, I thought she said Lord. My name is Kenneth Lord. No, my God. Who does that? The Lord thy God is my middle name? No. I'm sorry. No. I'm scared.
Oh my God. Oh God. And Brother Ash, you know, Tamika said it one way. I'm saying, you know, she said you lie over anything. I say you volunteer a lie. Is this breakup time?
Oh yeah, you gotta go. You gotta go because I don't believe nothing you say. You just and like you said, and then you got you got them setting you up for the lie. You know. I think today's Monday, but you know what? I think on Friday I may be going to the store. So you set them up to let them know that you may be going to the store on Friday when you're going somewhere else. You know, just lie. This is and the volunteer lie, like you said, the volunteer lie. You sit there and say, hey, listen, you went to work today. Yeah, I went to work and stuff. You know. Oh yeah, and by the way, I went to the store too. I didn't ask you about no store. I didn't ask you about the store. I asked you about work. So you already, you know, it's sad because, you know, we laugh about it, but it's a sad thing because I know somebody who will lie. I don't care what it is. He's going to lie. And the bad thing is we're sitting there knowing he's lying and we're just looking at him. When he said the stuff he said sometimes is just crazy. Like, yo, bro, where you get that from? You know, I mean, anything. You can sit there and say, man, look, I was looking at reading the Bible, man. And, you know, that's amazing, man. Jesus walked on water. Yeah, man, I remember I tried to walk on water one time. I went down a little bit, but... Just lying. You know, I started calling them on it. Okay, you walk on water? Come on, let's go over here to the pool. I want to see this. You know your body temperature. Then it follows up with another lie. Well, in order to do that, you know you got to be calm. You got to have your body temperature. You know I've been stressed today, so I'm probably gonna sink right now if I do it now.
Hey, Brother Al, you should have said, but your name is Lord. You should have said your name is Lord.
Your name is Lord.
hey,
Pastor Steph, right? When I was in college, we had this young guy that was claiming he was a reverend. And he used to lie, lie all the time. And I'm like, bro, you a reverend? And you lying like that? No, I'm telling you this and that. And I used to have an ongoing joke. I used to tell him that. I used to have an ongoing joke about him. I said, you have half a halo on one side and a horn on the other side.
Oh, my goodness. I can't. My stomach is hurting. Yeah, it's time for y'all to go. We need to switch it behind all of this. Thank you so much, my dude, time crew, for your contribution into today's conversation. I need to, my stomach to stop hurting, so I need to switch here. So have a blessed day, everybody.
You as well. Have a blessing.
You too.
Thank you.
You too, and don't lie.
I won't. I'll try not to. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's the top of the hour, and it's about that time for us to get the switch tip with Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm sad because I would have liked my middle name to be Lord. But you didn't name me that, Pastor Mom.
I wouldn't give you that name back in 1985, and I ain't going to give you that name now. You might as well get over it. What you got for us today?
Today we got the switch with Shanti, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat, and we are up to switch tip 130, and that is don't insist on being the wrong example. Now, there were a few definitions of example that I was able to retrieve, but the one that I would like us to focus on this morning, or this week rather, is one that serves as a pattern to be imitated or not to be imitated. And, of course, you know, everyone who makes sure they read the Bible for themselves knows the verse where it says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And as God has planted and, you know, is grooming pastors to lead his flocks, he is asking us to imitate our pastors as they imitate Christ. And with everything that is going on now, it's real questionable how some of these pastors still have a following, because if they study who Jesus is, then you study his characteristics, you study his traits, you study who and what he stands for. And then you have to now pair your pastors up to that. And even though a lot of us do not have the title of a pastor, you know, an elder, when we say yes to God, we now become God's servants. We now become Jesus' disciples. We now have to go out here and evangelize. I don't need the title of an evangelist to now take evangelizing seriously, because that is my job. That is the expectation I now have to live up to. And we now have to realize that the definition we just read, one that serves as a pattern to be imitated or not to be imitated, we are supposed to be serving as a pattern to be imitated. Titus 2:6-7, New Living Translation reads, in the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. We have to make sure that we are setting the example, as when people look at us, what we say, what we do, and when people pay attention to what we don't say and what we don't do, because I have to realize that people pay a lot of attention to that, just as much as they pay attention to the things that we say and that we do. We have to make sure that we are doing things that they should want to do. You know, that when I say, and I just got finished saying to Pastor Steph the other day, like, you know, I want God to make me popping, just so people could ask me to do things, you know, like the A-list celebrities, someone come on my show and do this, or come work with me and do that. I want them to be able to want to ask me, like, just so I could turn them down because of God's standards. And it may sound crazy, but I just want to. Mainly because we are living in a world now where even those of us who are quote-unquote Christians are now compromising with everything. There is no real distinction between those of us who are for God and those of us who are against God. And I just want to be one of those, I want to be one of those people that I don't have a problem, even if it's something that I'm struggling with, even if on the side I'm like, Jesus, you know, because, oh, okay, I may want to do this. But because you're reminding me of who you are, because you are telling me to imitate you, because Jesus imitates God. And we are now to imitate Jesus. And we are now to have other people want to imitate us only because we're imitating Christ. And, you know, as Pastor Steph speaks a lot about relationships, you know, whether you're just boyfriend or girlfriend, especially if you're married. Yes, you know, a lot of us women, I was one who hated the word submit because I was only really introduced to initially in the world. And when I started learning about what it means to submit to God and to submit to authority and to, whether it's law, you know, law enforcement or whomever, teachers, your husband, your wife. And I'm, yes, as your wife, I'm supposed to be imitating you as long as you're imitating Christ. Don't expect to stay slow and you want me to follow you. The slow can't lead the slow. Okay, so you have to make sure that people want to follow you because you're following Christ. Make sure you're not being a bad example. Again, one that serves as a pattern to be imitated or not to be imitated. So let's meditate on that not to be imitated real quick. 2 Corinthians 6:3, New Living Translation. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. We cannot be a stumbling block to people, but expect God to not have us as trendsetters for him. And a lot of times, you know, again, God is showing us a different layer of this. Sometimes it could be something that's okay with you, you know, where God isn't saying in general, I don't want this to happen. But with you, it's fine for you to do this. But someone else, maybe it's because of something that they're struggling with or whatever. But you have to make sure you're paying enough attention to understand in this setting, I may have to refrain from saying and or doing some things because I have to make sure that I'm not a stumbling block to someone else. That when they look at me, they say, I can't do what she's doing because she ain't doing what, you know, she ain't following right. We have to make sure that we are God's trendsetters. We are his brand ambassadors. We speak for him, whether we literally open our mouths or not. People are paying attention to every little thing, as they should. But when they look at us, they should be seeing us as in Titus 2:6-7. That we care about encouraging others, that we ourselves, you know, Pastor Steph last night on the live prayer, she brought up a memory verse that I had that I completely forgot about. How did you forget about a memory verse? I don't know. But 1 Corinthians 9:27, and it's talking about disciplining your body and making sure that you're an example for others, but also that you follow what you're preaching to others, what God is giving you to give to others, so you don't now help others do good, but then you disqualify yourself. So you have to be an example even for yourself. It's not just for others. You know, as God is spending time with you, he's not spending time with you just so you can put other people on to him. It's so that you can obtain all the information you need to, and then now you share it. So we have to make sure we're making the conscious decision of making a switch from serving as a pattern of those not to be imitated, but making sure we're serving as a pattern to be imitated. So don't insist on being the wrong example. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you. Now, what's the switch tip again? What's the title?
Don't insist on being the wrong example.
All righty, all righty. Thank you so very much, Shanti. And we
pray
you have a blessed day.
Thank you, you too.
All right. Wow. Don't insist on being the wrong example. You know, been talking about this for a while. You know, when you... I always say to you all, you know, God snatches my collar. And last night on the prayer line, I talked about, you know, the focus was self-control. And I talked about at one point, I didn't realize, this was quite a few years ago, I would say this was a good maybe 8 or 9 years ago, that God gave me the understanding. That's the way I want to put it. I would always shop. Cabinets always had to be full. Refrigerator always had to be full. I always shop. First of all, I never even noticed it. And then when I noticed it, it was just like, okay, I'll just shop. No big deal. And then God had to bring it to my realization of why I was shopping like that. There was this fear that I had of, you know, we just was going to run out of food, and not on my watch, we ain't running out of food. And God had to really deal with me on that. And I was fine. Fine all these years, no problem. And just a couple of weeks ago, I noticed that I was shopping more. And yesterday morning, I would like to say that the Lord snatched me by the collar again. It's like, didn't we go through this already? And I just didn't realize that I had been picking back up on that. You know, I'm always looking at the two circulars and, you know, what can I buy? And I got to make sure, you know, this is on sale and that's on sale. And if it's on sale, I'm going to buy that. And, you know, and I've always, you hear me talk about all the time, you know, we don't even have any, God forbid they bring ice cream for dessert for Sabbath. We all jacked up because we ain't got no space. Somebody brought some ice cream and I had to take it out the carton and put it in a Ziploc bag, you know, just to be able to fit it in the freezer. And again, I was never bragging. But God had to snatch me in the collar. And it makes me think of that story that I gave last night when Satchi says, don't insist on. You know, when God knocks on your door and brings to your realization something that you're doing, he wants you to change that thing. He does not want that to be a part of your, you know, regimen in any manner. But if we insist on doing what we're doing because we don't think it's bad or because, you know, because it could have easily been where God knocked on the door and I was like, well, God, I only buy things, you know, we need. Then that's insisting, because if it was fine and God knew that you were only buying things you needed, then why would he bother? Because there was, you know, a justifiable reason. But clearly there's something else that's going on that you're feeding. And now that I talk about it, now I'm realizing how that kind of moves over into you know, something that you're doing that you're feeding, something that you don't even realize you're feeding. There's something going on that you're not addressing, or you feel like, okay, well, I'll just do this to wash away that, you know. And so if it was only this issue of, well, God, you know, I only bought the stuff that we needed, then, and he knew that, then he wouldn't bother. But when we push, that's when you're insistent. When something has been brought to your attention and you want to excuse it away or explain it away, then you're insistent. When God knocked on the door immediately, I was like, okay, I got you. And I said, and I, because it was while I was looking at the circulars. And I was like, all right. So I just, not only did I come, you know, change the tab, I deleted the two tabs that I had. And I was like, okay, you did. So I see what you're talking about. I see I'm falling. When you're not at that level where God can deal with you and call something to your attention and you snap out of it, there's a problem. You're insisting. And I'm not about to insist on doing something that the Lord has nudged me about. I'm not going to insist on doing something. I'm not going to explain this to God. If this is God that is talking to me, or if it's something that God is using someone, you know, someone says, well, listen, Steph, I'm noticing such and such a thing. You know whether that thing is real or not. And you know whether it's God or not who's talking to you. Are you going to insist you go that route, or are you going to say, thank you, God, thank you, I appreciate it, because you could have just left me, and I could crawl right back into that nasty habit again. Then where would I be? So I thank God all the time. I tell y'all all the time, thank you, God, for snatching me in my collar. I appreciate it. I don't want to be left alone. I don't want to be left alone to a reprobate mind. You know, where I think I'm doing good and I'm not. You know, one of the other versions for that scripture. It says, ignoring God leads to a downward spiral, and I'm watching it all the time. All because you want to do it your way. All because you have your own understanding, and God is trying to just reroute that thing, not trying to take it away from you, but just reroute it for a little bit, where God is trying to knock on your door so you could eliminate something. You know, I've had people say to me, I'm like, you don't see that that's God. They'll bring it to me. And they'll say, oh, I'm noticing such and such a thing and such and such a thing. And they twist it. They can't figure out what's going on. And I'm like, you don't see that that's God? No, that's God. You know, follow God. I go back all the time saying, my sheep hear my voice. How is it that God is talking to us and we can't pick up on this thing? I've literally had people come and start laying out stuff. And they're like, I don't understand what's going on and what's going on. And I'm like, well, why can't I see it? But you can. And then when you say it, they're like, okay, I didn't think about it that way. No, because we're so caught up in how we see things and in our desires, our fleshly desires, our spirit. That's what we're following. If you call yourself a Christian person, you want to always be listening and watching out for the Lord. You want to make that a habit. You always want your ear to the ground for when it could possibly be God that is sending you a message, that is trying to show you something, that's revealing something to you that you may have prayed about. You know, it amazes me how everybody is praying for, Lord, I want to be more like you. Lord, I want to be in your will. Lord, I want to do what you say. Lord, I want you to expand my territory. Lord, I want you to do this. Lord, and when God answers, you mad, you're upset, you reject, you run away from, well, wait a minute. Isn't that what you just asked for? You asked God for that. But because it didn't come through in orange, because you were looking for orange and it came through as green, it's not God. My sheep hear my voice. It's just certain scriptures that God, it just keeps coming to me. I may sound a little redundant, but it just keeps coming to me because it really separates the men from the boys. Ooh, yeah. Really separates who's for God and who's against God. Because remember, it sounds a little harsh, but God says, either you're for me or you're against me. See, we think we can do both. We think we can be for God but do things as the world does it. We can be in God, but we can follow the enemy who the enemy wants. Period. No, come on. Let's get on the Lord's side for real and make sure we show God how much we appreciate all that he's done for us. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. I want to thank you for hanging out with us. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now or to just strengthen that relationship with the Lord, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day, I love you.